Look at Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body. How much of the body? How much of it? If I say ate the whole pie, you'd know what that meant, wouldn't you? Ate all of it. You know I'm capable. I shouldn't, but I'm capable. The whole body, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Making increase of the body. Making what? Making increase of the body. The Word and the Spirit makes increase of the body, and it says God's people find their part and move in the Spirit, doing their part, connected to the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we begin to grow. It's as we know Him, as we function with Him, as we cooperate with Him, we begin to grow. Now, I don't know about you, I just know me. I like an organized house. And I don't like to go to bed with footprints in the carpet. Does that bother you? No. And so sometimes at 11 o'clock before I go to bed, I vacuum. I can't deal with that. Get up in the morning, the carpet's got footprints in it. If that doesn't bother you, that's okay with me, but bothers me. So the other night, Wayne's in bed. He's all covered up. And I vacuumed all the way around him. He never even knew. He had me solely tuned out. He doesn't even hear the vacuum cleaner. That's amazing, isn't it? I vacuumed, just within inches of him. He never even knew I was there. Sometimes God comes that close to us and we live our own life. We're doing our own thing. We have a job. We have a household. We have children. We have neighbors. We have mama to take care of. And we don't hear the footprints of God. We don't hear the noise that He makes trying to get our attention. It says God gets our attention as we say, yes, Lord, yes, to His will and to His way. We say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You and obey. As the Spirit speaks to me, you know, you have to hear the Spirit. You have to hear the Word. And then you have to commit yourself. And sometimes we say yes, we sing yes, Lord, yes, but in truth we're going to judge whether or not it's real convenient, and we're only going to do it if it's sort of convenient. We say, I say yes, Lord, yes. If it's convenient, I obey. I say yes, Lord, yes, if I want to have Your way. And we're not really fully committed to do our part. And sometimes we decide to do our part and then we don't show up. You know, the strongest ministry of the church, the first ministry that everybody has to function is ministry to show up. You know, we could do a lot if everybody would show up. I know if you have a church with a large number of nursery workers, they always have a good number that don't show up. If they have a Sunday when everybody's in place, that's awesome that everybody came, or that those who actually were sick and couldn't come called in. It's a wonderful thing. We've got to show up. We've got to find our part. We've got to do our part. We've got to work with heaven. We've got to cooperate with the Spirit. We've got to hold hands together. We've got to hear the footprints of the Master. We've got to say yes, whether it's convenient or inconvenient. The other day I felt to go to a meeting. I tell you the truth, didn't really want to go. I've been teaching on Wednesday night in Colossians. As you've been hearing Colossians here, I'm just falling in love with Colossians. Wonderful, wonderful book. I hope you don't miss the rest of it. And I felt to go to a meeting. It was a Thursday, and I was really too tired. I tried to talk myself out of it. I said, oh, no. I worked yesterday. I was in the office Monday and Tuesday, writing the end of the year letters. We write letters at the end of every year, say thank you for the opportunity to minister to your people. Have a good number of those to write, each one written individually. So I had done that. We had written our end of the year letters to those people who support us financially, and I had worked really hard, and then I'd studied Colossians for 2 days, and I thought, I'm taking a day off. You can forget it. I'm taking the day off. I'm tired. But in the inside, so I'll say, yes, Lord, yes. If I'm not too tired, I'll go. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes. If I'm not too tired, I'll flow. When the Spirit speaks to me, if I'm inclined, I'll there be. And that's the way we live our life. We're not really as surrendered, as committed, as we need to be in order to grow. But if we find our part and we surrender. So that morning I got up and I had just talked myself out of it. I'm not going, though I felt to go. I sensed to go. And then I got thinking about crucifying the flesh with the affections and lusts. And I thought, you know, that's what that verse means. It means the flesh says no, but God said yes. So crucify the flesh and go on. Well, I had to say it 2 or 3 times. I said, listen here, Becky. I talked to myself. Don't know if you talked to yourself. I said, listen here. We're going to crucify the flesh. You sense in the Spirit to go, and you're going. You crucify the flesh. That's a powerful verse that's in there, crucify the flesh. Flesh says, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. You can't do that to me. I don't know who you think you are. I've had enough of this. It speaks its mind, says its peace, commands, commandeers, and makes Vast mistakes. The Old Testament says, the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The more you say, the more likely you are to make a mistake. That's the word of the Lord in the book of Proverbs. So I finally got together, and I went, and it was a wonderful meeting. It was a profitable meeting. And then I went to lunch and went home, and then had the rest of my day to complete. And all day long I said, thank God I crucified the flesh. Thank God I obeyed. You know, you want to raise your flag to heaven and say, I obeyed, God. Did you see that? I didn't want to, but I obeyed. Because the flesh is strong. Now, what if your stomach says, I'm just not working today, sorry. Or your lungs say, look, I've had a bad day. A lot of smog in the air. I'm just not putting out. You know, if you lose a toe, you have to learn to walk again. Did you know that? Every single part of the body is important. And if you're in the nursery, you're a greeter, you're an usher, you help in any capacity, you're so very important to the work of the body. Now look at Hebrews 12. I want to show you a magnificent verse. See, God is so good. God is so good. He wants us to eat the good word of God. He wants us to hear what we need to hear so we can do what we need to do. You know, if you hear what you need to hear and do what you need to do, you'll have what you need to have. Sometimes we don't have what we need to have because we haven't done what we need to do, because we haven't heard what we need to hear, or we haven't heard and obeyed. It's not enough to know God. It's not enough to know what He wants you to do. There's no success in knowledge. It's knowledge acted upon. It's when I know and I obey. And that's probably going to take some time crucifying the flesh. Flesh is probably going to say, listen, you've had a hard time. You've put in hours of service. I'm a late night worker. I'm a slow starter. I finish long into the night. Not unusual the year I was doing some writing to be up at 2 and 3 and 4 in the morning. Wayne doesn't pay any attention. Lights in his face, fan going, computer going. He's not paying any attention at all. He's asleep. And it's amazing how sometimes we can do that. God keeps calling us. Say, Becky. And we're asleep. Becky, 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 Becky. You know, you tune out your children. They say, Mama, you didn't hear a thing. Has that ever happened to you? And they'll repeat it. And they'll get closer. And they'll be in your face. They can tune you out. They're watching TV. A husband watching sports is totally gone. You can walk and stand between him and the TV, and it's about 15 seconds before he knows he's not watching TV. He's so glued to the TV that he thinks he's seeing it, even though you're between him and the TV. I've practiced. I can tell you this is not theory. This is this is the way it is. And finally, he'll come to himself, realize he doesn't see the picture. And he'll say, move, 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 move. Get out of the way. He's not at all concerned why you were standing there. Isn't that right, ladies? But we can't do that to God. Almighty God, God of our fathers, eternal, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God. Do you believe God has wisdom? Do you believe He has the wisdom that you need? Do you believe He has your answer? Do you believe if He gives you an instruction that if you obey that, it's going to work out for you? Or do you believe God gives instructions that might work, it could work? Do you believe God works with His fingers crossed? Or do you believe He knows what He's doing? Now, here's the thing. I can't always see what God sees. I mean, God gives instructions that don't look too good to me. I'm thinking, are you sure? I remember when word came we were going on radio. I thought to myself, we certainly are not going on radio. You can forget that. I don't know how to do it. Don't have the money to do it. Don't want to do it. Not going to do it. But God kept knocking. And people kept harassing me in the name of the Lord. They said, you are going on radio. I heard God sent you a word to go on radio. You are going to do that. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. I tell you, I didn't know how. I didn't have the money. People were on my case. See, we say yes, but yet if it looks too big, too hard, too difficult, or if my ingrown toenail's hurting, not doing it today, you can forget it. And the body of Christ suffers. You know you suffer if any part of your body has a down day. Do you not? And do you know this place needs you? You know your part is important here. So very important. You may think anybody could take your place, but nobody smiles like you do. You need to be here. You need to find your part. You need to say, what is it? Well, finally, one lady bothered me. She took me to lunch in order to bother me about radio. That is a mean trick. And I said, look, you don't even need to ask me again. I'm not going to do it. They said, I thought that was the word of the Lord to you. I said, you can just forget it. Don't say another word. I'm not going to do it. But on the inside, my heart kept bothering me. See, that's my part. It may not be your part, but that was my part. That was God's instructions to me. It doesn't have anything to do with you. God gives us instructions, and when we put all of our instructions together, we have a whole, we have an entity. We have success. I can't do everything. There's a lot of things I can't do, don't know how to do, don't even want to do. Can't run the computer, don't know how to run the computer, never tried to run the computer. I am flat not interested. God would really have to deal with me to learn how to run the computer. It is too hard. You have to mash 55 buttons to get to one place, and I'm not going to do it. That's the truth, isn't it? You computer people know that's the truth. Besides that, the computer lies. I'm doing some typing. I'm a good typist. I like to type. And the computer lies. And I needed something in Wayne, so just hit the button, the enter button. And I looked everywhere. The return button, he said. I looked everywhere. I read every button. There wasn't a single button on that machine that said return. I said, there's no return button in there. He said, there certainly is. And he leans over my shoulder and says, this button right here. I said, Wayne Cumby, that button says enter. Now, how come if I want to return to the screen, I mash the button that says enter? You tell me that. Because that machine is a liar. It lied to me. I'm not interested. You know, sometimes God can't get our attention. We're not interested. I don't want to work in the nursery. If God asked me to work in the nursery, I'm not going to do it. I wasn't interested in radio. I don't want to work on radio. I know God's dealing with me. I know that's my part. I don't want to do it. So finally, I was so harassed, and God began to, you know, God just sticks with you. Keeps saying, radio. Radio, you want to say, go away, God. Go away. And you think, no, I don't want God to go away. Don't go away. So I said, call and find out if they have a spot, when the spot's open, how much it's going to cost. So he did that, and he said, it's going to cost this much money. I said, oh, now I know I'm not doing it. There's no way I'm doing that. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes. If I want to, I'll obey. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes. If I don't have a headache today, if the Spirit speaks to me and my wife does agree, then the answer will be yes. Lord, yes. You know, Wayne doesn't have to agree when God speaks to me. If God speaks to me, his agreement's immaterial. Now, I'm not ugly. I'm not unkind. But when God speaks to me about the household, that's different. But when God speaks to me about the work of the Lord, then it's God and I working together. Now, if he said at the house we're not going to do it, then we're not going to do it because he's the head of the house. But he doesn't stand between the Lord and I. You understand that, ladies? Well, after he called and found out how much radio costs, I know I'm not doing it. You can forget it. I'm not doing it. It's too expensive. I don't have the money. But God wouldn't let me know. And he kept saying, radio, radio. So finally I said, okay, call and saved up. We took all the money we had out of savings, paid the first month. I'm talking, this is real faith. Because I don't have the money for the second month. Second month came along. They sent us the bill. We managed to gather up the money. It was a miracle. I'm telling you, it was a miracle of God. And we never paid another bill, never made another payment. Because somebody came along and paid our bill for 7 years. Every dime. All that time, all God was waiting on was me to say, yes, Lord, yes, to your will. He's waiting on me to say, I'll do it. See, God knows how to do it. He knows where the money is to do it with. All he needs is you to show up. Say, show up. Now look, here's the reason. It's in Hebrews 12. Did you find Hebrews 12? Mm-hmm. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Do you see that word also? We also, Hebrews 11 gives us great men and women of faith, what they accomplished, what their faith brought to pass in their life. And then it says, we also are compassed about. They were compassed about with witnesses. We are compassed about with witnesses. Now, we've read that scripture, and there's truth in what we said. I believe what we said, that we have in heaven a vast barrage of witnesses who are looking down on us and want us to do our very best for God. And I believe that's the truth. But it says, we are compassed about with witnesses, like they are compassed about with witnesses. Abraham had earthly witnesses who were watching him move. He was instructed to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He was already a wealthy man, to increase in wealth as he obeyed God. And he's pulling up his household, pulling up all of his servants, gathering some of his family, even though he was told to leave family behind, and making a move. Now, you know the neighborhood noticed. They said, what's Abraham doing? And the people didn't notice at the time, said, what happened to Abraham? There were witnesses. A witness, someone who's watching, who's looking. Do you know when Noah was building a boat in the desert, somebody noticed that? I mean, ordinarily, especially in that day when you can't load it on the back of a truck, cart it over to the ocean, it'd be better to build a boat next to the ocean. You know, they noticed he's building this boat on dry land a long way from water. Now look, here's the reason. It's in Hebrews 12. Did you find Hebrews 12? Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Do you see that word also? We also, Hebrews 11 gives us great men, women of faith. What they accomplished. What their faith brought to pass in their life. And then it says, we also are compassed about. They were compassed about with witnesses. We are compassed about with witnesses. Now, we've read that scripture, and there's truth in what we said. I believe what we said, that we have in heaven a vast barrage of witnesses who are looking down on us and want us to do our very best for God. And I believe that's the truth. But it says, we are compassed about with witnesses, like they are compassed about with witnesses. Abraham had earthly witnesses who were watching him move. He was instructed to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He was already a wealthy man. To increase in wealth as he obeyed God. And he's pulling up his household, pulling up all of his servants, gathering some of his family, even though he was told to leave family behind, and making a move. Now, you know the neighborhood noticed. They said, what's Abraham doing? And the people didn't notice at the time, said, what happened to Abraham? There were witnesses. A witness, someone who's watching, who's looking. Do you know when Noah was building a boat in the desert, somebody noticed that? I mean, ordinarily, especially in that day when you can't load it on the back of a truck, cart it over to the ocean, it'd be better to build a boat next to the ocean. You know, they noticed he's building this boat on dry land a long way from water. And the chances are remote that they'd ever even seen rain. Genesis chapter 2 said the water came up from the earth. A mist came up and watered the grounds. They may never have even seen a drop of rain. Now let me read you about Noah. See, there were witnesses noticing what's happening. Do you know that crazy old man's building a boat in the desert? So what is that? It's a boat. What does it do? It floats. It floats. It carries you across water. Water? What water? You know he was talk of the town. Now look. And God said unto Noah... We won't read what he said. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded. God said, Noah did. He said, okay. And then the next chapter, the Lord said unto Noah, 5 verses later, and Noah did according to all the Lord had commanded. You know there are witnesses watching. I know when we've only owned 2 houses. Our first little house was in a subdivision. Since then, we've lived on acreage. We don't have any neighbors, but we had neighbors in our first little house, and our neighbor next door, he could curse. I'm telling you, he was an award-winning. His vocabulary was too much. I tried to avoid him. He was pleasant. I liked him. Loved his little wife, but I thought, shh, I can't put that in my ear. Well, I'm talking to them one day, and she said, at church today, and I thought, what'd you say? She said, at church today. I knew they didn't go to church, never went to church. She said, we decided to go to church. Well, they went to church. She was Christian already, but hadn't served God for years. She wasn't what? Wasn't showing up. Wasn't what? Wasn't what? She knew God. She just never showed up. He got born again. Both died years later and went to heaven. I'm so glad. Long before they were born again, one morning we were home on a Sunday because Joel was born with an open hole in his head and at 2 months age had to have surgery to close that hole up. God really blessed us in that worked out perfectly for us and for him as well. But anyway, he had been in the hospital that week, and so on Sunday we weren't able to go to church. We were still nursing him, trying to help him rally. And she came over and knocked on the door. Precious lady, she said, are you all right? It's Sunday. See, she knew we wouldn't be there. She's a witness to the fact that we always left on Sunday. She knows we're there on Sunday. So I showed her the baby, told her what happened. She noticed. See, when you show up and you do your part, it's not just for you. Thank God it blesses you. Thank God it blesses this place. But do you know somebody's watching? They were watching Noah. They were watching Abraham. You know, Moses, raised in the household of the Pharaoh, went out into the field, saw a Hebrew and an Israeli fighting, killed the Hebrew. He thought nobody knew that. The next day he saw two Israelis fighting and he's going to separate them. And they said, are you going to kill us like you killed the other man? See, somebody's watching. Somebody knows. They know. But if I walk with God in the light of His Word, if I'm Spirit-led and Spirit-fed, what they notice is going to help them. I was in business yesterday. I was with Wayne. Maybe it was day before yesterday. Just went with him. And the lady had hired somebody to dust everything in the business, and she intentionally hired this little guy that's a sinner. I thought it was the cutest thing. And he's just working really hard. She had him there. And she'd had him there several times because she wanted an opportunity to tell him about Jesus. She wanted to do her part. See, what is your part? Somebody's a witness. If we went down the street, some neighbors would say, oh, I think they go to church every now and then, but usually they're home. Or would they say, well, they're always gone. It's Sunday, you know. Would the people in charge say, well, we hope she shows up to work her turn in the nursery? Would they say, shh, mark her off the list. She hardly ever comes anyway. What would they say? See, somebody's a witness. Somebody's watching. You're going to make a difference in somebody's life. People say things about me I'm totally unaware. I thought, are you talking to me? You're talking about me? I don't even remember something that they noticed that they thought helped them. It says we're compassed about with great witnesses. Who's watching you? Who's watching? And then it says, this is a great verse. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Let's run with patience the race that's set before us. Do you see everybody has a race set before him? It says there's a race set before you. Now, if you run in any race, there's a beginning point and a finish line, and they don't just let you run any way you want to, because if the beginning point here is the finish line's over here, and they say, and you can do anything you want to, you're going to cut across field straight to the finish line. But they usually put you in a lane, and you have so far to run, and you stay in that lane sometimes only for a certain amount of time. But they lay out the track. See, and this is, there are people watching you run your race. There are things you're supposed to be doing as an individual. There are things we're all supposed to be doing as we cooperate with God, as we work together as a church. And it says it's set before us. When something's set before you, you see it. See, and we run with vision. You have property and you have a building going up. You have a vision. You run with that vision. And Pastor paints that vision before you. And you do your part to bring that vision to pass. We run with a vision. And it says we run with patience. Now that word patience means to be steady, to be steadfast. We use it in the sense of hanging in there. But it means more than hang in there. It means you're always steady, one foot in front of the other. It's like marching soldiers. Left, right, left, right, left, right. It means to be steady, to be consistent, to be constant. Run with patience. What do you think Noah's doing building a boat? You know, I know he got up some morning and said to the boys, because they were adults, they had wives, we're not building any more boat, I'm tired. But he had vision, see? Something stirring. God had spoken. You know, Abraham, here's the promised land. Here's Ur of the Chaldees where he lived. He goes all the way up this way and comes all the way down that way. Why didn't he just cut across? Go this way. Could have gotten there quicker because God didn't say that. He's following God. Following God. Follow, follow. I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow. Are you following? Are you steady? Can you be counted on? Do you show up? Now, I know the people that don't usually show up are probably not here. We'll just trust the Lord to connect them with the message. Run with patience the race. What's the race? What race is set before you? See, Noah's race was build a boat. Abraham's was leave Ur, the Chaldees. Moses' race was to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And then Gideon's mentioned. Gideon was the least in his family. He was sure he couldn't do it. God called upon him to lead a nation to victory. And he said, no, I'm the least in my family. He's trying to tell God, you've made a mistake. I can't do that. I'm not the one. You've made a wrong choice. But God spoke. And he found out, see, God enables us. God enables us. If we find out what race we're supposed to be running, what we're supposed to be doing, God's going to enable us. He's going to bring it to pass. When the angel came to Mary and said, a virgin shall conceive, that holy thing which shall be born of her shall be called the Son of God, she said, be it unto me according to thy word. She knew she couldn't bring it to pass. She wasn't trying to bring it to pass. Now this chapter says God's the author and the finisher. He starts things, he finishes. You know what you and I are? This is such good news. We're the bologna in the middle. This is kind of like a bologna sandwich. God's the bread of life. He's the bread that starts things, the bread that finishes things. And all he asks us to do is allow the oil of the Spirit, which is like mayonnaise, because mayonnaise is full of oil, and be that piece of bologna in the middle and hold fast to God's dream and God's vision and move left, right, left, right, left, right, left. Well, what if nobody goes with me? You'd be across the finish line. They'll lose. You can't let other people dictate what you do. So I don't have to show up. Nobody ever shows up. Nobody ever comes to that meeting. I'm not going myself. You better be there. We've got witnesses. You're going to make a difference. People notice everything. We'd like to talk ourselves out and say, oh, they'll never notice me. If you change your hair color, they're going to notice. If you have a haircut, they're going to notice. If you have a new dress, they're going to notice. If you have new shoes, new glasses, somebody's going to notice. You drive up in a new car, they're going to notice. If you mow your yard, somebody's going to say so. People will notice everything. You can even hide something and be sneaky about something and plan that nobody knows it, but somebody will know. They notice everything because people are inherently nosy. Let's run with patience the race. What race? The one God gives to you. Now, everybody has some things in common. We're all going to walk in love. It's part of every race. We're all going to tithe. It's part of every race. We're all going to give and forgive. It's part of every race. We're all going to worship in spirit and truth. It's part of every race. Some things are part of every race, no matter what God asks you to do. And yet some things are just for me and just for you. But the King Eternal, Christ in you, the hope of glory who dwells on the inside is going to empower you. Now look at this verse. Here you are running the race. You find out. You know it says, if any lack wisdom, let him ask. So you just need to say, God, what do you want me to do? You know, the truth is a lot of us do not want to do anything. We are as involved as we care to be already. I've been in church since church nursery. My father was a church staff person for over 50 years. And people that want to be involved are involved, and people that want to sit, sit. And a lot of people are not involved because they choose not to be involved. They do not want to do anything. Oh, how very sad that is. Now, there are things you won't do well. So you have to say, you try that, you don't have to do that, but once or twice. You know, you say, that's just really not me. Sometimes we're trying to figure out where we fit. Like putting a puzzle together, you know? I'm no good at that. I'm not a visionary like that. A Wayne can look at that piece, and our granddaughter can look at that piece. They put puzzle together, and me, I'm just hanging over trying to say, okay, this is blue, and this is blue, bound to go together somehow. You know? I'm just really not good at that. And I put it in. If it doesn't fit, I take it out and say, anybody want a drink? I'll go get drinks. Find something else to do, because I'm no good at that, but you're good at something. You fit somewhere. And somebody's watching. They are witnesses, not only heavenly witnesses, cheering us on. People in heavenly places know when you're walking with God. Oh, they don't know when you buy a new house, and they don't know if you remarry. But if you're walking with God or you're not walking with God, they know that. and they're anxious for you to walk with God, to walk with that King eternal, to allow Christ in you to dominate your life, to dominate your thinking. And you know the truth, if you get in trouble, those hunks on TV, they're not coming to help you. Somebody asked me about somebody, and I said, I just tell you the truth, I don't know them apart. I forget who's who. Some things it's good to be ignorant about, isn't it? They're not coming. Magnum's not coming. Perry Mason will not be here. But Christ in you. See, if you're doing your part and you get in any trouble, see, this is ever-present help in time of trouble. He'll be there. God will be there. So we're going to run the race with a vision, with a direction, with a destiny. Build a boat. Leave your home. Do it in love. Build a boat. Leave your home. Be a giver. And we're going to do it steadfast. Left. Right. Left. Right. The truth is, we should be so rooted in our responsibility that if they ask us to do something different, it's hard to unplug. That we've fallen so in love with the thing that we're doing for God that it's very difficult to be moved or shifted. We should have to work at being flexible. You know how quick I took my Christmas tree down? I don't know about you. I said, I'm not putting it up, 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 not putting it up. And they kept bothering me. They kept bothering me. Well, I'm going to put up the tree, so I'm not putting it up. We have to put up the tree, so I'm not putting it up. So finally, I gave in. I put it up. I liked it. I thought I did a fairly decent job. Looked good. You know, sometimes you don't brag on yourself. You might as well. Nobody else will. And so I thought it did good. I thought it looked good. You know when I took it down? 26th of December. And the only reason I didn't take it down on 25th, they wouldn't let me. I was finished with that tree. I was ready to unplug. Sometimes we do things like that. We're doing something, but if they say don't come, don't show up, we're delighted. We're like, shh, didn't want to do that anyway. No, we should be so rooted and grounded. Know that God has spoken, that God has directed. This is my part. This is what I can do for God. This is my assignment today. And we should be so plugged in. I notice Christmas lights still up in our neighborhood. Have you noticed some in yours? I want to go by and say, unplug those. It's over. But they just seem like they're delighted. They plug them in every night. They're still real pretty. What are you plugged into? I said, nothing, I ain't doing nothing. You're going to miss what Scripture calls the recompense of reward. You're going to miss the joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're going to miss that peace that passes all understanding. Now, these people ran the race. They had a vision. They ran patiently. They ran in obedience. We run the race. We keep our part because we are chosen to obey God. You know, Moses didn't really want to obey God. God said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And he said, I'm not a good spokesman, never was a good spokesman. You know, we have excuses. And he says, God was angry with him. And he sent Aaron. He said, I'll send Aaron to help you to be your spokesman. But that wasn't God's highest. It wasn't his best. It wasn't his original plan. Because who was it that led the people astray when Moses was up on the mountain getting the Ten Commandments? Who was in charge who led the people to build the golden calf? Who was it said the calf just jumped out of the water? And if you believe that, we have property for sale. It was Aaron. But Moses finally submitted. Thank God he did. He submitted. He was slow. He was reluctant. So I'm a little reluctant. We'll wait. We'll give you a minute to submit. I'm so glad God's not impatient. His mercy endures forever. I'm so glad he keeps that, keeps speaking to us. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Shh. I mean, if God didn't keep speaking to me, couple of things he's had to say over and over and over again because I didn't want to do it. But he kept saying, Becky, 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 Becky. I say, yes, Lord, yes. Now here's what could happen. Look at verse 3. Consider him that endured such opposition of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You can get weary doing your part. Has that ever happened to you? Just flat tired. Weary, lose heart, discouraged, despondent, in despair. Oh, do I have good word for you? Do I have such good word for you? You ever get tired? This is your part. This is your assignment. This is your vision. This is your dream. This is your goal. And you're steady at it and you're just flat tired. Says they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Take time out. Get in your favorite chair. Sit in your blue chair and prop your feet up on your blue footstool. And begin to sing hallelujah to the King. It says, if any lack strength and you ask for strength, God will strengthen you with might by His Spirit in the inner man. Sing hallelujah to the King. It says, then you can run, not be weary. You can walk, not faint. God will strengthen you until you can keep running. And says, you'll mount it with strength like the, with wings like the eagle. Now, I don't know if you know the difference in eagles, but eagles, most birds flap. You know, you've seen the little hummingbird? I mean, they are working, working, working. Their little wings go, they are working hard. Eagle's not working at all. He flies high. He finds a wind of current, stretches his wings out, and floats. That's all he does. He's not flapping. He's not worried. He's flying high. See if you're doing your part. What is your part? Say, Lord, what is my part? And you're doing it steadily. And you get weary. You go to the Lord. Talks about speaking in tongues and says, this is a refreshing wherewith we can cause the weary. I begin to speak in tongues. I begin to sit in God's presence. I ask Him to strengthen me because I'm going to do my part because I'm not going to quit. So that word patience means you're not going to quit. Now, nothing's forever. Most things aren't forever. I was on radio 7 years. Those days came and went. We were glad for those days, but they're gone for now. So what are you supposed to be doing? We're watching. Your neighbors are watching. You know, if you stick your head out the door and holler at your children, your neighbors are going to know. That lady hollers all the time. We have witnesses. And you can make a difference. Run with the vision. Do your part. Run steadily. Run patiently. Run in obedience. Jesus said, I don't say anything my Father didn't say. I don't do anything my Father didn't tell me to do. He was perfectly obedient. His part was to go to the cross. That was the thing. Thank God it's not your part. It's His part. So He walked steadily to the cross. That was His part. And it says, when He was reviled or rebuked, He reviled not. He did it in love. And when He was on that cross, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. He did His part. He did it in love. You can do your part. You can do it in love. His part, 3 days and three nights, His part's over. I don't know how long you have to hold steady at your part until the Lord dismisses you and shows you your next assignment. But you have that vision. And you run patiently. And you run in obedience. It amazes me the number of disobedient adults and children that you can come in contact with on just a simple one 24-hour day. When you can say to a kid, you need to take your hat off in the house. Well, I don't know why John has his hat on. Why would you take the garbage out? Well, it's not my turn. We need to make some changes in our relationship with God. God said, why don't you take out the garbage? He said, all right, sir, I will. Why don't you work at the nursery once a month? Okay, I will. Between me and you, if I never diapered another baby, it'd be a happy moment. But I'm committed to submit. And I prayed in the nursery. They asked me, would I show up every morning 15 minutes early and pray in the nursery? I thought, oh, brother. Well, I'm committed. Left, right. Left, right. Are you committed? Because sort of committed, partially committed, occasionally committed. If you feel like committed, it's not going to work out for you or for the church. So I went. And I was in there one day, and a baby came early. He's in the swing, and he's going up and down in the swing. I noticed he had something on the bottom of his shoes. I bent over to see his mother had written on the bottom of his shoes, "Devil under my feet." I love that. I've told that story for 20 years. If praying in the nursery didn't do anything else for me, it gave me that story to tell. And I loved it. I loved it. A mother committed to raise a child under God. I loved that. What's your part? Can you run with patience? Can you run in obedience? You know, here's the thing. They give us a part and they tell us how to do it. We don't want to do it that way. Seems like it ought to work some other way. You know, leadership doesn't have to be right. Did you know that? Leadership does not have to be right. Leadership has to be obeyed. If what they're doing is not illegal or immoral, all you have to do is say, "Yes, sir." Unless they ask for your opinion. I was amazed at one place, the fighting that was going on in the sound booth. I mean, there was 4, 5, 6 technicians up there, and there was quite a controversy. You could tell there was a controversy, so I inquired. Somebody, one of those technicians I knew well, and I said, what's happening? They said, well, he said it was too loud, he said it was too soft, he said the decibels, he said, she said, he said. I said, what'd the man in charge want? He wanted it louder. Is that illegal? No. Immoral? No. Turned up. Yeah, but that hurt my ears. Bring you an earplug. My, if we just learned to obey. If we just learned to obey. Now, one person I know really, really well always has an opinion about it, most things. And the interesting thing about 80% of the time, he's right. He sees things that nobody else sees. He puts together pieces nobody else puts together. So finally, a company hired him, and they hired him to work here, and then they moved him over here, and they moved him over here. And everywhere he went, he was able to change something, correct something, do something more efficiently, and make him more money. So now all they want him to do is sit around and watch. I said, what do you do? He said, I just watch. And then I write a report. Maybe if we change that, maybe if we change that. They found out what his part was, what he did best. If that's not your part, we won't need your opinion. I'm just setting you up. It's kind of like teaching. It's kind of like bowling. I set you all up like pins and then I roll you all down. Is that all right? Can you do your part? Can you run with the vision? Can you run the race that's set before you? What race is set before you? Can you run with patience? Run steadily. Can you run in obedience? Can you run in trust? I love the words from Hebrews 11. Sarah, too old to conceive a child, yet she's going to bear a child. And it says she counted him faithful that promised. She was doing her part. Trust in God. Mary's doing her part. Said, be it unto me according to your word. We run in trust. Say, I trust you, Lord. I trust you. When we made that first radio payment, I said, I trust you, Lord. And then it came time, I mean, like snap of your finger, they want a second month payment. And I said to Wayne, where are we going to get the money? If you got any money. Did we ever hide any money anywhere? The companies never have any hidden money. What you see is what we have. He said, no. But the Lord helped us. We came up with it. I kept saying, I trust you, Lord. I was prepared to trust him for the entire year, month by month. I said, I trust you. Sarah trusted her God. Said, you shall have a child. Abraham trusted his God. God said, take your son Isaac to the mountain and kill him. And it says in Hebrews, he went with the intent of killing him, knowing that God was able to raise him up. He knew that's the promised heir. He knows he has to live. But he went. Do you obey? Are you prepared to obey? So you've got to run in obedience. You've got to run in trust. And if you don't trust God, obedience is very difficult. If I'm doing something that I'm insecure about, I'm not certain it's going to work out. It doesn't seem right to me. Even though God has spoken, I'm going to be incapacitated. But if I trust Him, I've been here a number of times over the years, so you know that our children were nearly killed in an automobile accident years ago now. And for weeks, I went under a traffic light just a half a block from the house, and every time I'd go under, I'd hear in the spirit, I'd hear words. I'm not one that hears things, sees things. Some people hear and see a lot. Some people hear and see enough to make me very uncomfortable. God speaks to you in chapters. I'm a little uncomfortable with that, because when God speaks to me, He speaks in sentences and words, not in chapters and paragraphs. Anyway, that's just a tip. But I heard words. They were both together. I thought, I should probably pray about that. I was too busy. I heard it three different times going under that light. They were both together. So that morning, Joel got up to go to school. He took Suzanne with him. They were both together. To drop her off at her school, they were not at the same school. They were both together. And they called and said, one lady called, and one little girl called and said, she said, I'm down at the bus stop. Is Joel driving a whatever it was, a truck? Wasn't he driving our truck? I said, yes. And she said, well, he's been hurt. And then the radio announced that they were dead. But for days, I'd hear they were both together. And I'd stand in God's presence, and He'd say, no weapon formed against you, Becky, will prosper. I'd heard that verse. I couldn't get away from that verse. It's like I was trapped in that verse of Scripture. If you had elbowed me, that's what I'd have said. One of our friends meditating in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus with natural Holy Ghost power, went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. She meditated in that. It's the only thing on her mind. See, God helps us. If He assigns us, He enables us. If we're walking steadily in obedience with the vision He's given us, He's more than enough. She went to the grocery store and the clerk said, that'd be $10.38. Said she didn't mean to. Something in her spirit just snapped. And she said to the clerk, how God anointed Jesus and has the Holy Ghost and power, went about doing good and healing all the oppressed of the devil. And the lady behind the cashier said, pardon me? And she came to herself, realized what she'd done. She said, oh, never mind. So I was trapped and no weapon formed against you would prosper. And when they called me, I called Wayne. He's already at work because he went to work early. In the spirit, this God who's more than enough. More than enough. He'll not give you an assignment so you can fall on your nose unto Him that's able to keep you from falling. That's what the Scripture said. He's present. He's there. It says He'll keep your foot from stumbling. Shh. And I heard in the Spirit, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And I know they can't be dead. And when I got to that traffic light, Suzanne's unconscious. They haven't even moved her. She's laying within 4 or 5 inches of the edge of the road and traffic's moving. I just was horrified. Joel's been loaded in the ambulance. He's unconscious. And in the Spirit, I kept hearing, no weapon. See, when God gives you a vision, God gives you direction. And you work left, right. You're steady. You're faithful. You're dependable. You're obedient. You trust Him. When you trust God, He's more than enough. See, we need to believe that. We sing it, we need to believe it. If you got up here and I sang, He's less than enough, He's almost enough, He's sort of enough, I wish He was enough, you'd want me to sit down hush. But sometimes when we walk our walk with God, we tackle the assignments He's given us as if He's almost enough, or if He should have been enough, as if He didn't come through. No, Almighty God, God of our fathers, the eternal King of glory, can be trusted. And He said, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And He said, I'll meet your need out of my riches and glory. And He said, give and it'll be given unto you. And Almighty God always keeps His word when we keep ours, when we're doing our part. You see, when you read Colossians last week, it talked about the head of the church. It talked about His resurrection. It talked about His pre-existence. It said all of these things to prove that He's preeminent. He's first. He's superior. He's supreme. And then it drops down a few verses and it says something very profound. It says, if You continue. He is supreme if you continue. He's more than enough if you continue. He's first if you continue. See, we drop out on God, and then we have an emergency. Thank God He's merciful. But we should have been here all the time. Left, right, left, right. Said, I don't want to do that. Crucify the flesh. That's why that verse is in there. Because you're not going to want, you know, we live in if I want to, I will society. No, you're not going to want to do everything. I didn't want to go on radio. And the first time I went down, because we didn't have equipment in the office, now we have plenty of equipment. We still have the equipment, though we're no longer on radio. And the first time I went down there and they set me in the office 30 minutes, I'm going to talk for 30 minutes and not make any mistakes. And they're going to put it on radio. And I don't have anybody to talk to. I'm talking in a little bitty booth talking to the wall. I thought, you know, this is not what I want to do. This is not good. I don't like this at all. And I did it that way for quite some time. Until I said, you know, let's get some equipment at the office. We put out our faith for money. God sent the money. We bought the equipment. And we did it at the house. It was a blessing. I had to crucify the flesh. And one day I said something I regretted in that 30 minutes. And I said to the man, can you edit that out? Sure. He said, sure. And the way he said it, I thought, he is never going to think of that again. So I called him later. I said, did you edit that? No. But we will. We can do that. I said, but will you? I said, do not want that sentence on the radio because I feel like it can be grossly misunderstood. Told him exactly what it was, where it was. Yes, we'll take it out. Called him again, third time. Have you taken out that sentence? No. He said, we will. I said, I'm going to come and pull that tape. Bring it home. Because you're not playing on the radio with that sentence. That sentence disturbs me. I regret saying it. It can be misunderstood. I don't want it on the radio. You know, it's easy to get misunderstood saying the right thing. You certainly don't want to say the wrong thing. Well, does God have to stay on our case like that? Does He have to keep speaking? Does He have to keep saying, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I don't feel like it. My toe hurts. I'm not good at it. Let me tell you. I've done a lot of things I wasn't good at. I was in children's ministry for about 5 years because they needed somebody that would be faithful to substitute, and I went substitute. And somebody said to me one day, how's the anointing in children? I said, the anointing in children? I haven't seen any anointing anything I'm doing in children. I said, you've got to be kidding. And I got to think about that. And I put out my faith, and I remember when the anointing fell, the lesson was, I'm the bread of life. I took a loaf of bread. You know, your children have to be taught and entertained. I took a loaf of bread, fresh bread. You know, you can make bread balls. And we made bread balls and we threw them at one another and talked about the scripture. And when we did, God went, He just filled that room with His presence and the anointing fell. And I found out, you don't have to know how to do it. You don't have to be capable. You don't have to be skilled. See, I'm not a singer. I just sing anyway. Nobody's ever asked me to do any solos or anything. I sing all around the world. And still nobody's asked me to do a solo. I'm not really a singer. But I just don't let that bother me. My father was a church musician. I was raised in music, and somehow music. I get to teaching and I think a song, I just sing it. My brother has three girls. The little one called me one day and she said, Aunt Becky, you will never guess what Daddy does. He's a pastor. I said, what? She said, he teaches a while, and then he thought of a song. She said, and he sang it from the pulpit. I said, you mean he was speaking words and then he sang a song that went with the words? She said, yes, isn't that awful? I said, oh, that is awful. I said, however your Aunt Becky does that. She was silent. She doesn't live in Florida. The other end of the phone, there's nobody there anymore. I'm calling to her. I don't let my skill bother me. Trust and obey. For there's no other way. If I feel like singing, I sing. says, somebody can do it better. Oh, I know that. To be happy in Jesus is to what? Now with your eyes closed, and if you want to, raise your hands to heaven. Say, Father, I intend to run with the vision. I intend to run patiently. I intend to run with discipline and in obedience. I trust you, Father. I intend, first of all, to show up. And I want to thank you in advance. What you call me to do, you enable me to do. Thank you, Father.